Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
We have heard today beautiful music. We've heard young men play to God. We've heard how great and it is a reminder in a way that Christmas is past. Presents are open. Decorations will soon come down. Loved ones are getting prepared to leave for home. And once again, we feel a mixture of joy and sadness. For some, the dreams of the season grow strangely dim. The joy felt is going home, leaving us with a slightly empty feeling. The winter seems colder, the days darker, and the warmth and the light we once has seems to be going away. That letdown makes us feel depressed. Maybe we feel depressed because we didn't attain the great exuberance we thought the season might bring. Maybe we get depressed because we simply feel like we've experienced the best there is and we don't anticipate anything else is to come. Perhaps we feel like the joy we had somehow just slipped away. That's how many feel. Because their Christmas was filled with stuff and not with Christ. You know, it's hard, isn't it, to deal with this time of year. We even have a name for it. We call it the Christmas blues. Maybe it's because we suffer so many deaths this time of year. Maybe it's because we anticipate the death of the year itself. Who knows? All of the reasons that go into that depression that we feel. But the anticipation of those events that bring happiness and joy to our life pales in the true revelation of the present that God brings. The present of Him Himself. For He gives to us His heart, not as men do. Jesus says, I give to you not as men give to you. He gives to us eternal joy. Something that we know is there no matter what the circumstances of life may bring. We know that He never leads us into the dark, that He is light itself, that we are warmed by the feeling deep within us that He loves us and cares for us when everybody else seems to leave and when all the wrapping paper is thrown away in the trash and all the trappings of Christmas are taken down. There is one thing left, and that is the greatest gift of all. That is Christ Himself. For He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There are many people in this world who've never heard those voices. They've never heard that phrase. They've never accepted the truth of it. And so it seems empty, like the boxes that a child will play in, that has no treasure at all for them. I want you to know that Christ loves you. Yes, I'm speaking from a position of being most blessed. I have a family that blesses me. I have two boys, a daughter, and because of them, I have six. Three boys and three daughters, and grandchildren, and a wife who stayed with me far too long. Because she says she gave me the best years of her life. And she just said amen. And I heard her. But everyone who receives Christ is doubly blessed. Because they have something that can never, ever be taken away. Not on a midnight street, sirens wailing in the background. Nothing can take away the joy that God has placed in the hearts of His people. Amen. Let us go before Him now to pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before You, we come with a sad and a glad heart. Sad that for us, perhaps, another season has gone by when we didn't take advantage of every moment to express our love to others. Perhaps we feel a little sad because we did not put You in the center of everything we do. But we are glad. Glad because You have come to forgive us for being inadequate. To forgive us for simply being caught up in a moment, forgetting for a moment that You created the very celebration we have. We are glad because we have received a gift beyond all other gifts, the gift of Your love and Your salvation. Father, as we come before You today, may we hear from You once more. May we hear the words of life and the words of death, the words of joy and gladness. May the angels sing, and may we hear it ringing in our ears, like the shepherds who no one thought were of any worth at all. They were unclean people, and yet they were out of the fields at night looking after the paschal lambs. They couldn't go into the temple, but the lambs would go and sacrifice themselves for. But they were allowed to see the true paschal lamb, the Lamb that You sent into this world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we know that they were considered liars, and yet when they told the story of what they had seen and heard, people wondered, because even someone who lies could not make up such a wonderful revelation. Father, as always, I ask that You cast my words out. People have not come on this drizzly day, on this cold day, to hear from Me. They have come to humble themselves and hear Your voice. And so, Father, in whatever language we speak, speak to us. Speak to us in the language of Your love, that each of us may receive what You have brought us here to receive today. And that we shall not leave this place until we have seen the fulfillment of Your love for us. For we ask You, in the One who was sent to bring that love to us, we ask it in the name of Your only begotten Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us open our Bibles, if you would, to Luke, the second chapter. I'm going to be reading you a story that perhaps you've heard many times before.
Am I being recorded now?
Yes.
I didn't look up and see them waving at me. We're going to be reading from Luke. Luke, the second chapter, and I'm going to start with the 21st verse. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined to fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. In these verses we read that the time had come for the ceremony of redemption, the redemption of the firstborn. The Jews had been given a law in Exodus 3:2, which proclaimed that every firstborn male, be it human or animal, was sacred to God. And there was a price that had to be paid to buy that animal or child back from God. And the price was established in the law, 5 shekels. Now the 5 shekels only went to the priest to pay for the ceremony itself. Every person who came forth with a child in their arms had to bring a sacrifice as well. A lamb, if they could afford it, or 2 turtle doves, if they couldn't. And that's what Mary brought. Mary brought what is called the sacrifice of the poor. She brought turtle doves. You know, God says that man is my poem, and every time I look into His Word, I see refrain after refrain of God's poem. Here is the Lamb of God that she brings into the temple. They can't afford a real lamb to buy from the temple. but they bring the true Lamb of God into the temple. She can't bring anything to sacrifice except turtle doves because they're poor, but she brings them, and doves are the symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. She brings what she has. She brings her own son. She brings him in the temple for circumcision. She's already gone through an 8-day period of purification where she could not in any way, shape, or form deal with the people there because she could not touch them. She was unclean. But she's gone through that period. Everything must be done just as God willed it to be done. For those of you who are here on Christmas Eve, I reminded you that they first did everything according to God's will. They weren't at the inn. They were in a place that in Hebrew, the stable, is the same word used for huts at the Festival of Huts, where every good Jew was. Every good Jewish couple went into a hut. And even today, outside Orthodox churches, Jewish churches, you can see a manger. It reminds them of huts. Huts was the festival that celebrated their redemption. It was celebrating the fact that God had led them through the desert after setting them free. And so they went back into a hut to remember that time. And that was the time of year that we're in. And immediately upon that, after she was in the manger and gave birth to the child, and you remember, placed him in a feeding trough, then was a Feast of Tabernacles. And I've told you how the women would raise, by a kind of pulley system, a huge vat of oil up as high as they could in the women's court. And they would set it aflame. And the wick of that flame was swaddling cloths, the undergarments of the priest. And so this child born to them was a celebration of tabernacles, a fulfillment, if you will, of tabernacles, because he was the light of the world come into the world. He was the high priest. And that's why the angels said to the shepherds, "This will be a sign unto you. You will find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths." Everything had to be done according to the law. Because God's poem is a perfect repetition. That's how we get prophecy. It is a perfect repetition of what he said. And so, the light of the world was laid in a feeding trough. A feeding trough that we might consume him. He was the bread of heaven come down to lay in a feeding trough before you and I. Everything had to be done just as God wanted it. And so they gave their offering for the poor. They brought him in to be circumcised, where he would shed his blood for the first time in the altar. He would shed it again for our sins. And you had to pay that price, basically that sacrifice, to lease the child back from God. You know, sometimes we lease purchase something. We lease something, but it is understood that the person who gave us the lease still has ownership. They recognize that God still owned the child. And you were only leasing the child with the sacrifice. You were leasing the child for a short time, in the hopes, of course, that you could raise and nurture the child, and that it, perhaps in your old age, he would take care of you. There was a perfect symmetry going forward, where everyone knew that God was everywhere. That was what Mary brought Jesus there to do. 8 days after his birth, he had to undergo that circumcision as the parents brought him to the temple. And Mary had to wait. You know, most of us get tired of waiting. We don't want to wait for anything. We live in an instant society. We want God to perform what He wants us to do and right now for us. He wants it right now. Right now we want the Holy Spirit just to fall. Right now. Heal all of our sicknesses. Deliver us from this bondage that we live in. But Mary waited. She waited until it was time for her to go. It says that Joseph and Mary came to the temple and they encountered Simeon, who was a pious, saintly old man. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was waiting for the comfort, the consolation, the comfort of Israel. He has been waiting a long time. He waited a lot longer than we're willing to wait sometimes. We don't even understand his persistence and his waiting. We can't understand why a person would wait that many years, or why Anna would wait, I mean, so many years. Because when you're waiting on God, it's worth waiting for. And so they were waiting there. Waiting for what? Because he had been assured that he would see God's chosen one, his anointed one, before he passed away. He knew that. Every child, every male child that came in to be circumcised, you can see him kind of getting around the best he could, trying to look into the arms of the woman who was holding this little baby and trying to say, hey, you know, is this the one? Is this the one? He finally, he sees, after he's watched and waited for so long, the Christ child. It says that he grabs it up in his arms and holds it up heavenly. And in verse 29, it says that he took up in his arms the blessed and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That old man did more than just lift the child up. He opened his heart and he received the salvation that was in his arms. He received it. He knew. Here indeed was a child who was more than just a watershed in history. I've heard so many people say he was watershed in history, and it is true. I mean, he was that, because he not only gave an extra dimension, an eternal dimension to the human soul, and dragged us up out of the time when we were just animals and just lived and died and lived and died and lived and died. He came to give us life and life eternal. And so there is that portion of his mission. But the other thing is that he split time in two. That everything before him would be known as pre-Christ, before Christ. And everything, every event that takes place afterwards would be something after Christ had come. This last week I was watching television and found out that even the Japanese and the Chinese are beginning to adopt the Western calendar. So even though this was the year of the pony and soon going to be the year of the lamb, they realize that it is also the year that celebrates our Lord's birth. You know, so it's there. And all that past things that happen are numbered before Him. And all the future events that take place are numbered after Him. He will enter us as Savior, or we'll reject Him to our peril. Now, you can't be on the fence about who Jesus is. I mean, you'll either accept Him or you'll reject Him. Simeon saw the child and realized it was not just the universal child, it was the cosmic child. It was the child not just of Mary and Joseph, but of God. This was the Messiah, the Anointed One. Christmas child celebrates the birth of a measuring rod, a moral barometer, a spiritual yardstick by which everything that is measured. When Jesus walked through a room, I have said many times that you could see what was wrong with everybody else. That's because he was that moral barometer. He was that spiritual yardstick. He was that measuring rod. That when we measured ourselves against him about who he was and what he taught, everything else fell aside. And humanity will rise or fall depending on how it measures up or doesn't. Think about it. Everything that the world has meant, everything that the world will mean, every idea, every rise and fall of humanity, every truth or falsehood, every evil or good, is all determined by the measuring rod that was sent into Jerusalem several thousand years ago. If we want this broken, weary world to be healed, it is only by His teachings that it will ever be healed. If we want to make this world over into a world that is fit for His coming again, and we do, you'll only do it by His Spirit, by practicing His words. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command?" Could He say that to America? Oh, yeah. Could He say that to the world? Oh, yes. Could He say it to you or me? Yeah, He could. Because we are measured by our obedience and our love for God. When we try to rebuild around His teachings, we have to remember that the Spirit of the One who was God was laid in a manger crib. The other Christmas fact is that Bethlehem's child is pointing us to a road that leads to the abundant and eternal life. That realization thrilled Simeon's heart. For many years he had been on the alert. Just think about that, how he had run from place to place, probably on tiptoes, looking in to see every face of every child, watching for the comfort or the consolation of Israel. And now holding Mary and Joseph's 8-day-old boy, something happens. A personal journey that he has taken for many years suddenly comes to its end. We just have a difficulty with that because we think that everything has to be done immediately, that we must immediately see what God has. But remember, God wants us to ponder everything in our hearts. There was a release that Simeon wanted that only divine knowledge could give. Only that divine knowledge that came from God. Too often we quit too soon. We want an instant revelation and we're simply not going to be still and know that He is God. We want something and we can't understand why Simeon showed us a persistence and patience. I was looking at a cartoon in the newspaper. I don't normally get a newspaper, but Sandra found one here last week. She brought it home. And I was looking and I remembered a cartoon that I had once read about Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown was standing at a base and he was at home plate. He was standing there and the umpire in the little balloon says, "Strike three, you're out." It wasn't the first time Charlie Brown had struck out. And so he kind of slumped back over the bench and he was feeling really sorry for himself. And he said, "You know, I'll never make the big leagues. I've always wanted to. I just don't have the right stuff. It's been the dream of my life to be player in the big leagues, but I'm never going to make it." And Lucy, his little friend, says, "Well, Charlie Brown, you're just setting goals that are far too far ahead. You need to have instant goals and immediate goals." And Charlie says, "Immediate goals?" And she said, "Yes. This next inning, when you're going to the mound to pitch, see if you can get to the mound without falling down." You know, I've been there. I understand what Schultz was saying when he wrote that cartoon. Because there was a time in my life when I struggled against God a lot more than I even do today. And I struggled and I tried to be a bivocational pastor and burn the candle at both ends and do all the kind of stuff that I could do. And God gave me a heart attack. I know that God gave it to me because I survived it. And He did it for a reason. And as I was pondering why I was laid up there and couldn't do anything and was going to lose my business and everything else, I finally said, okay, God, you finally got my attention. I will be a full-time preacher. I'll be a Billy Graham. Because my pride hadn't gone down, you know. And God spoke to me, and I remember His words. He said, just be a Christian. It was hard for me. The hardest thing He could have said. I could have tried to have been a Billy Graham, but being a Christian, that was hard. That was very hard. And that's what Simeon is saying to Mary when he speaks to her in verse 34 and 35. He says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary the mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary knew that the joy that she had would come also with pain. That she would lose that little baby. The baby would grow up. You know, I've sometimes thought about the pain that Joseph and Mary must have had when they came back from the temple, having heard their son. They'd search for, you remember the story, search for him everywhere, finally find him, and what does he say? He says, why are you looking for me? You know I had to be about my father's business. It's a reminder to them once again that they just leased him from God. They didn't own him. There's pain in that. There was pain when Mary saw her child rejected. She was told that he was going to be king of everything, king of his ancestor David, king of Israel. And yet people rejected him, the one who had come to set us free. There was pain when she saw him brutalized, and pain when she saw him hung upon a cross, pain when she buried him. See, God brought not only Simeon, but the whole faithful together, Anna, to proclaim the truth that God had come to us. It's something to remember in the midst of the pain and oppression that sometimes we suffer at this time of year. You have Emmanuel, God with us. It's hard to comprehend. Emmanuel, God has come to live with us, to comfort us, to pick us up when we fall down, to bear all of our sorrows and all of our pain if we'll just cast it on Him. All we have to do is to love the one who God sent. And if He's with us, who's going to be against us? Jesus is the gift of God. He's come into the world, cast out all doubt and fear and all the darkness so that we can live a life that is in the light, the abundant life. He's come to save us from our sins, to deliver us from our bondage, to give us joy and life abundant. The only question we all have to answer is, have we unwrapped the gift? You know, my little granddaughter, who's 2.5, looked at the tree yesterday and she said, there are no presents left. We had unwrapped every single one of them. Have you unwrapped the gift that God has given? That is the true gift of Christmas this year. It is the true gift that He gives to us every day of the year. Have you unwrapped Emmanuel? Have you received him like Simeon into your heart? Has he become your Savior? Has he become your Lord? That is what Christmas is about. And it is what God promises to us every day throughout all the years of our life.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.